Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and we thank you for your precious word that we so need, and help us to desire it more than anything else, Lord. So guide us this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. We're in a short psalm today that may be one of your favorites, 84. Charles Spurgeon said about this psalm, "If Psalm 23 be the most popular, and Psalm 103 the most joyful, and Psalm 119 the most deeply experimental, Psalm 51 the most plaintive, Psalm 84 is one of the sweetest." 12 verses, I'll read it. "To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of or for the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." That's the first section. Now the second section. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." And as you continue to dwell on the Word of God, it always just comes so alive and so vibrant. But this begins with, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts." How lovely. Do you think of his place of worship as a lovely place in your heart, as a place you really want to be? I think you probably do with regard to this thing each Saturday morning, or you wouldn't be here. And I think you're always blessed when you are here, because if you're here with the right heart, you will be blessed by him, right? I mean, you can't help it. You will be blessed. But how lovely is your tabernacle, who? O Lord of hosts. It's his place. The whole world is his place, but we have a hard time seeing him in a lot of areas, it seems to me. Now notice, my soul longs. That means it grows pale. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. How much of that applies to you? How much do you long to be with the body of Christ? My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Do they? Do you? Do I? we're really talking about the living God here. We're not talking about a building. We're not talking about the temple. We're not talking about the tabernacle necessarily. We're talking about the place of the living God. The living God. Is your God living? How alive is he in your life? Now he looks at the sparrow and he looks at the swallow. They have a place. Even the sparrow has found a home. The swallow is a nest for herself where she may lay her young. I think about how our Lord would say the same thing. The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but I have no place to lay my head. Some, and then it says, even your altars, O Lord of God, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They still will be praising you. So some try to say this is birds building their nests in the altar. Well, it may be, but I don't personally believe that. I think as soon as you had a sacrifice, birds would be fried crisply if they built their nest in the altar. In the old altar, now today we don't have fire in the altar necessarily, and they could be up in the eaves of the temple, maybe, I don't know. But I think he's talking about they have a home. They have a home. Where is your home? Where's your home now? Where's your home going to be? We know where ours is. We know where ours is going to be. And then he just says, Selah, which means is pause and what do you think about that kind of a thing? And I think that first part there is the longing. It's a longing, my desire part of the psalm. And now we'll get into the next one, which is our journey. And then the last one really is arriving, is really arriving. And so this really is a psalm, in my opinion, of a pilgrim. There were many pilgrims in Israel because three times a year, every male, by compulsory, they could possibly get there, needed to go to the feast. So you had the three major feasts. You had the Passover. That was a little early, a little cold. Very difficult to come from, say, Rome to Israel in the winter because the seas were too rough. So I don't think Passover was the biggest feast day. But 50, Pentecost, 50 days later, I think was the big one. Because now you're getting into the late spring, and that's the best time of the year. So that'd be the best time to travel. And then the fall one is the tabernacles. I think this happens to be the fall one only because they make a deal about this dry place in Baca, which is the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Weeping, which is generally believed to be part of the really the driest desert that coming from some directions to Jerusalem you'd have to cross. So I think this is a pilgrim here. He's looking forward to the feast. He's looking forward to be with all the people gathering. He's looking forward to be in the old days that would be gathered around the tabernacle, the new days, temple, or newer days, the temple. So verse 5 says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. What is your strength then? Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Do you really feel you're a pilgrim passing through? Are you kind of locked in on this life and so concerned about tomorrow and so concerned about a week from tomorrow and a month from tomorrow and a year from tomorrow? Where will I be? What will I be doing? How about this and how about all that? Or do you really feel today may be my last day? I'm just passing through this place. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, think of that as you going through trials and tribulations. This is a dry place. The Valley of Baca would be a very dry place. Listen to this. They make it a spring. Now, in this dry place of life, is your life a spring? A source of life to others? Some read into this, specifically referring to teaching or pastoring or ministering, which we all should be doing. But at any rate, how do you make a dry place a spring? Well, we're to be, what, the light? We're to be the salt, aren't we? we've got the good news. So do you make it a spring? The rain also covers it with pools, and when they would go through those dry places, apparently they would either try to dig holes to catch rain, or maybe they would uncover some springs, I don't know, but they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools, and others see you're making possibly water for others to come through there after you, which also would fit our lives really in a way too. They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Whose strength is that? Not your strength. You don't have any. Oh, you got to buck up and be tough. Yeah, you can try that, but you're not going to get very far because you don't have it in you. But he will give you that strength, right? Go from his strength to his strength, not thinking about I'm going to go from my strength to my strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. I love that. Do you ever stop and think how people are watching you? Wherever you are, people are watching you. If you're a Christian, people are watching you. You're appearing before others. Here, each one appears before God in Zion. We will eventually all appear before God, right? And we appear for him today. He knows exactly what we're doing. We're writing our testimony today. And tomorrow we'll be writing a testimony tomorrow with our lives, right? Each one appears before God. And then he cries out, O Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, of hosts, hear my prayer. And you know, whenever we pray that, it's not that God has his ears stopped up, but it's indication of we are desirous for him to hear our prayer. It's, Lord, hear my prayer means I want you to hear my prayer. I know you're going to hear it whether I want it or not. But I want you to know that I want you to hear it because you're my strength. You're my everything. You're my light. You're my life. And the same thing, give ear. I know he hears you. I know he hears everything about you. Whether you're praying silently or whether you're shouting to the top of your voice, he hears you. But again, listen. Hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And again, Selah, what do you think about that? Give ear, O Lord, or give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. I think that could be referring to the writer of the psalm. I think this the writer here is David. But it may not be. The Holy Spirit is the author. And your anointed, of course, could refer to Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, yes, he's going to look on Christ, obviously. That's not really a need for us to ask the Father to look upon his Son. I mean, that's a given, isn't it? His Son is not in desperate need of him. We are, right? So we're anointed. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. We're anointed to that extent. And so I think that's a good prayer for you and for me. Look upon me, Lord. And may you, you know, he says what? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance. He says, that's who I am. I'm a blessing God and I will lift my face upon you, right? And so here it says, look upon the face of your anointed. And now we get to a familiar thought here in verse 10. For a day in your courts, is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Well, there's so many things that come into mind there. Doorkeeper is the lowest position in the temple, was the lowest position in the temple. Now, who had that task? What tribe? It was the tribe of Levi, but what clan under the Levi tribe? Kohath, Korah. Who had the rebellion in the wilderness? Korah. They didn't like their position. They wanted to be high priests like Moses was, so they rebelled. And they were referred to intents of wickedness. And actually, earth opened up and swallowed them up. Remember that account? Well, a lot of people see that here, and I kind of think I agree with that. It says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And this psalm is given over to the sons of Korah. So I think that fits, but whether we want to go into that or not so much, I don't know. But one thing does strike me. I was looking at one day versus 1,000 days. I don't know how many of you have been on cruises, and somebody said, unless you can tell people you've been on a cruise, it's not worth going. But that's like a lot of things in our life, right? We like to brag about whatever. But one of the things they always do on a cruise, they always flood your room with all kinds of advertisements and stuff for other cruises. And if you look through some of those, you think, wow, this cruise I'm on is only 3 days. It's only 5 days. Here's a cruise for a month. Oh, wow, that'd be great. Well, here's one. Here's one for a year. Wow. I could be a whole year on this. Of course, you know, we'd go stark raving mad after about 10 days. You couldn't wait to get off the ship, probably, or at least I would be. But the thing here is, think how long a year is. That's 365 days. How long is 1,000 days? It's almost 3 years. So is one day in the house of God with other believers as important to you as 3 years of being in the world? And this tense of wickedness really is talking about the world riches and wickedness. Think of all the wickedness out there, with all of, you know, the plush carpets and the wonderful furniture and the great food and the servants and everything you could kind of dream of. The psalmist is saying here, I'd rather have one day in the court than 3 years in luxury. Now, how much do you enjoy coming to worship? Well, I don't know. I'm asking myself these questions that you probably don't need to necessarily think through too much. But he says, for a day in your court is better than 1,000. I would rather be the lowest spot in the house of my God than to dwell in luxury in wickedness for 1,000 days. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. That's S-U-N, sun and shield. He both is a source of light and he's a protector from things. The Lord will give grace and glory. I think the giving grace is grace for today. I think we need to think of that as that, grace for today. Yeah, he'll give you grace tomorrow and grace the day after and the grace after that, but I don't want to go tomorrow and say, well, I gave thanks for grace yesterday. I don't have to worry about it today. No, I think every day. I think he gives us grace for the day. He gives us grace for the day, and he gives us glory in being his. That is daily, and that is also promised. These are all promised eternally as well for the believer, aren't they? Unbelievable. And then listen to this. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So when you ask for this and you ask for that and he doesn't give it to you, what does that mean? You don't need it. Or you don't. It would not be good for you. Because if it's a good thing for you, he will give it to you. And usually what happens, it kind of goes like this, I think, at least in my case. I ask for something that I really want, let's assume, and I don't get it. But I also know from experience that he's going to give me something better than I ever asked for. Always. He always gives you better than what you asked for. He said, you know, Lord, I'm having trouble, you know, paying my bills. If I could just get another $50 a month, man, I'd have it made. And so he doesn't give you 50 bucks and you're struggling and struggling and struggling. Now, pretty soon he gives you what? Five times that much, you know. But isn't that the way he is? He gives you better than what you ask for. And you know what he gives you is the right thing. What I ask for, I don't know how to ask for anything. Really. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. What a promise that is. What a God we have. And then he closes, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. What a verse. Blessed. Oh, how happy. That is, of course, is inserted by the translators as it always is in the Beatitudes. That isn't in the original. It's blessed man. I mean, the man's blessed. And we can try to put it in English and it comes out to, maybe it makes more sense, blessed is, but it's not because, it is just he's blessed. Blessed. The man is blessed. The man blessed who trusts in you. So in whom do you trust? In whom are you telling people, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you see this? Did you see that? How often do you hear that and you go, I'm not even interested in seeing anything new and anything different, really. I just want to see the Lord. And I know he's eternal. I know he's been there forever, but I still want to see him. I want to see him today. I want to see him right now. And yeah, books are fine, but this is the truth. The book is filled with pretty much opinions and slants of the writer. So blessed is the man who trusts in you. He's arriving now. He's arrived. And after this long pilgrimage now, he has arrived. And he is there, and he's just so thankful to be there. And we'll soon be there, won't we? Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, or if not, the day after, or the day after that, we're getting closer and closer of being home. This is not our home. So if you don't like it, you're just on a short-term lease, don't worry about it. It's not going to be too long. Father, we thank you for your word. We just thank you for you loving us, and we thank you so much for Psalms like this, and every one, 150 of them really, or whatever we are in the word. And as we look at it and meditate on it, and we hear from you, and we see you, and we see ourselves, and it's just all such great reminders of how awesome you are, and that you're God and we're not, and we just desperately need you. And here you've given us the power of prayer. You've given us that opportunity to pray as you would lead us to pray. And so, Lord, as your Spirit would teach us to pray, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but we want to pray as led by your Spirit. And so guide us that way we would all be in one accord. Lead us now in Jesus' name. As we come to the end of the hour today, just thought we would just praise him with this old hymn, not too old, but it came out of the 50s. For you who weren't born in the 50s, it's old. But the words are on the back side of your page, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. That God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Sings my soul.
Yes, Lord, you are great. You are God. Thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord. And I just want to close with another little scripture for an encouragement to each of us. Help us to listen now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, continue to praise him. We talked about that last week, and praise is beautiful, isn't it? To him, I know, and to us as well. It's beautiful to him. But just to think of what he's done for you and where you stand as you witness today, hopefully tomorrow. Verse 14 in 2 Corinthians 2 says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." That's all done for us. All we have to do is show up. Are you going to show up today? Am I going to show up today? It's probably the better question. But this is what he has done for us, isn't it? And some of us like to say, "I don't like this statement, if the Lord tarries." I can't find anywhere in the scripture where the Lord's ever going to tarry. That means he's going to be late. He's never late. I like the book of Hebrews where it says, "For he is coming, and he will not tarry." So that means to me, every time you get the idea, "Oh, I want him to come, I want him to come, I want him to come." Now it says in Revelation, pray so he come quickly and so forth. And that's fine. But rather than dwell on coming quickly, which you don't have any control over, why don't you dwell at that very moment on the top five, the top 10 unsaved people, and thank the Lord he hasn't come today, or they would be lost. Every day he waits, more are coming. And he's going to come right on time. Not because you want him to come. "Oh, I want to be out of this mess I'm in. I want him to come. I want to be, I'm tired of this old body." But there's so much more important things in this life than this old body. Think of all those people who don't know the Lord. They don't have what we have. Let's pray for them, right? Well, thank you for coming. Your faithfulness is such a blessing. And Father, we thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for the promise that you will use us, Lord. That you prepared us. You prepared your church to be used, Lord. And we thank you for that. So help us to be available today, Lord. And tomorrow may we be praying for availability tomorrow, if you give us tomorrow. But you've given us today so far anyway. And may we praise you. Thank you. Thank you for each of these precious brothers and sisters. Such a wonderful family here we have. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.